Welcome back to another episode of Corinth in Your Car. I'm here with the boys, and we are excited about another conversation today. We'll start, as we always do, with a check-in. One thing that is coming up very soon is a season change. We are approaching autumn or fall, however you want to say it. It's close. So I want to ask you guys this. What is a favorite thing about fall, and what is a least favorite thing about fall? Take it away.
Least favorite thing is 90-degree days.
Yeah, the south fall well, is still, yeah.
See, but that's fake fall.
But it's still
whenever
fall.
Whenever it gets to like actual fall. We're so talking always, like stereotype.
Fall is like the greatest 3 weeks in Georgia. Yeah. It's only like 3 weeks long. So my least favorite thing is the 90-degree days.
Okay.
My favorite thing is just like long sleeve weather.
Yep.
Being able to wear lightweight hoodies and those things, not where it's like I'm freezing and I have to have a parka on. Mm-hmm. But I just get to wear a hoodie, or I get to wear a pullover or something of that nature, and it's just comfortable.
You said that a couple of days ago, that you're just really looking forward to wearing a hoodie while playing golf.
That's what I'm looking for. I'm a simple man.
Do you, simple, do you not like
simple all pleasures. I want is
do you not like showing your arms or something like that?
No, it's just well, part of it is like you know, trying to keep as much sun off of you as possible, but it's also too there's just played a lot of golf this summer and it gets a little taxing whenever it's 103 degrees outside.
Absolutely.
Tell you what, there's something nice about a t-shirt hoodie, though.
Yes.
The long sleeve hood on it when it's just a t-shirt thickness is really nice. So I'd say the same thing. I love the weather. And so Rosalie was born October 10th, 7 years ago. And we have, just to show how the fall in Georgia works, we have a picture on Instagram from 2 days before that. Naya and Dominic are little kids playing in the pool 2 days before her birthday, October 10th, when she was born, because it was so hot.
Yeah.
It was like 90-something. Like
that's awesome.
Yep. In October. Yep. So,
welcome to the South. There we go.
Least favorite thing, I usually, if I get allergies, it's usually in the spring, but I'll speak on behalf of my kids. Dominic and Rosalie right now are like snotting like crazy, and just something's in the air, and they're taking medicine every day, just really struggling. So
I'm one of those year-round allergy guys.
Ragweed is in the air.
Ragweed is right now, and ragweed is terrible.
So here's something that's crazy.
Touch my nose a lot while we record.
Since I started playing golf, my allergies don't bother me as much anymore.
Maybe you're getting acclimated.
I think that's what it is.
That's cheaper than the allergy shots.
Well done. Maybe.
I don't know.
Yeah, it's not cheaper than Zyrtec.
Yeah, you don't have health insurance to go play golf.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's just that's why I play golf, so I can not have allergies anymore.
Yeah.
Simple man.
I'm a simple guy.
I think, I don't know, I think my least favorite thing is the amount of hype that pumpkin spice flavored things get. It makes me angry. It's not that good.
I used to love a pumpkin spice latte, though.
Yeah.
But
it's just been overdone.
Like, pumpkin is a good flavor. Like, don't get me wrong.
Like
a nice pumpkin bread, a nice pumpkin pie is good stuff. But
pumpkin is not a good flavor. It's pumpkin spice is a good flavor.
Sure.
Pumpkin has no flavor.
Yeah. Pumpkin's gross.
Well, it's fine, but it just needs gross. It needs the seasoning.
You guys ever carved a pumpkin?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Have we ever carved a pumpkin?
Look at who you're talking about over there. It's Josh Moore. Of course that guy is carved.
The first pumpkin I ever carved, I was like 19, 20 years old or something.
Oh, man.
Like that.
So every year growing up.
Every year. Okay.
And then, raising kids and stuff, too.
You know.
Throwing the innards on each other. Yeah, it's...
The first time I ever carved a pumpkin, whenever I was in college, 1920 or something like that, you want to know what I tried to do?
Carve a Chiefs logo?
I tried to carve Nicolas Cage.
Nice.
It turned out not too bad.
And the way you phrased that, it made it sound like whenever you were in college in 1920.
Whenever I was in college.
You were 19 or 20.
You were 19 or 20 years old.
In college.
Back, I was 1920. So
it was 1920.
It was 1920. Yeah, 1920.
Way back in the day. Well, it would have been 2019 and 2020.
Right. So it wasn't.
Well, no, it would have been just 2019. I was here in 2020.
Yeah.
Oh wow. That shows how old I am.
Yeah.
Because whenever I hear 19 and 20, I don't think of 2019 college. And 20. I think of 19.
Well, you're the,
I don't
you're
either.
The only one that went to college in the 1900s.
That is right. I was born. Yeah, born in the 1900s. You were born in the 1900s.
I was born in the 1900s.
So,
yeah.
I was also born in the 1900s.
Barely born in the 1900s.
Okay, there we go. Hey, what's one really good thing that has happened to you or in your life from this last week, 7 days back up to now?
Well, I was telling you before we jumped in to the podcast, just trying to bring some order and organization to my professional life, and been doing a lot of that recently, just trying to be able to get things to where I can actually put my hands on them if I need them and that stuff. So it's a weird thing to say that it was a really good thing, because my office has been a war zone for the past few days, but it's getting there, and it feels good.
That's good. Reorganizing.
Yeah.
Seasons change.
Seasons change.
So do office furnitures.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And my anniversary was Saturday, so 12 years. That was a good day. Kids were overnight at someone's house, and so we just kind of had a night to not worry about getting back on time or whatever, just did what we wanted to do. So,
yeah,
it was fun.
Good. For me, this will kind of bleed into the next question that we'll just spend a minute on, is the Texas Longhorns beat the Alabama Crimson Tide. And that feels pretty,
horns.
Feels pretty good. Now, I am not going to say that Texas is back, because I am still fairly confident that after winning that, we will still be an average Big 12 team. But I don't know. Maybe not. But football is in season. That's one of our all collectively three of us love that about fall, is that football's back. Football fans, how are we doing?
Well, week one did not go.
I think week one is the opportunity not to overreact.
Yes. Right.
For anybody.
So Adam, how does 19-1 back to back Super Bowl champs sound?
You know, I mean 19-1 back to back Super Bowl champs would be fantastic.
Yeah.
But honestly, I just want to hear that back to back thing. So, that would be the best part.
Yeah, 12-5.
So real football in the NFL doesn't start till Thanksgiving anyway.
Amen.
So, now Chiefs better win Sunday. They need to.
Yeah, we need to win Sunday.
Is it Jacksonville?
Jags. Yeah. Jacksonville.
Yeah. So in fact, since it's in Jacksonville, I'm just deciding right now. Josh, you're preaching Sunday.
It'll be a 1 p.m.
Yeah, it's a 1 p.m. start, so I'm just going to drive down to Jacksonville and get a ticket. Just do that.
Cool. So we'll talk today about what I preached on Sunday. How did it go? Well, I don't know.
I don't know. Yeah. I haven't even written it yet.
This will be an interesting podcast.
Yeah. No, the 49ers looked good. Yeah, they did. But once again, it's like you don't want to overreact on week one, because who knows if the Steelers are good or not yet. We don't know.
So. Yeah, probably not.
Anyway,
we'll see. I think the Niners are good, but
the Niners looked really good.
Yeah.
So did the Cowboys.
Steelers will end up being 9-8, because that's what Mike Tomlin does.
But yeah, Niners, they look good. They're complete. I was happy to see Brock Purdy do his thing. So anyway,
and his elbow stayed on too. So that's good.
Yeah. It stayed on, and he had this one weird roll up play where he got sacked and his arms were underneath him on the back. So yeah, looks like he's fine.
Yeah, I think week one really. I think I was talking to you about this, Josh. I feel like every NFL season, there's just like maybe two or three weeks that kind of collectively throughout the NFL are just weird. But I don't remember the first time that it was a week one. And it seemed like week one this year was like collectively really weird with Aaron Rodgers and a lot of teams.
Isn't this like just the second year without the fourth preseason game?
I think so.
Yeah.
And so I think that week one feels like week four preseason, because nobody plays their guys in the preseason anymore.
Yeah.
And so they get out there and it's like, oh, wow, this is faster than practice.
Yeah, absolutely. But it's a good week whenever Josh Allen has four turnovers. That's
so glorious.
Like
so glorious.
All right. This
Joe Burrow only throws for 82 yards.
Yeah, that's a big
after
contract.
Signing
right
a
there,
massive
buddy.
Contract. Just so good.
All right. Well,
hey, week one, don't overreact, right?
Yeah. No, perfectly react.
It's fine. This week, pain. We have shared about pain before on the podcast. I think we had a conversation one time about worst injuries and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see if we can get a little bit more out of us today. Do you have a story about pain, whether that be of your own or someone that you know, that was just like absolutely crazy?
Well, so we were back in Missouri dropping Jaden off for college a couple of weeks ago, and played golf with Dad a couple of times. And Dad's just hasn't been moving around very well.
Okay.
And even whenever he's been out here, and it's been like this for a couple of years, and he's like, yeah, I'm going to go see the doctor. And so we went and saw the doctor while we were out there, and turned out he tore his Achilles tendon two years ago.
Oh, my goodness.
And has been walking around on a torn Achilles tendon for 2 years. And so...
Didn't his mom, I think I remember you saying that your grandma, which would have been, I guess, his mom, lived with some sort of pain for many, many years as well.
I don't remember that one specifically, but I mean, like, I know my mom, apparently had her appendix rupture whenever she was in high school.
That's what it was. Yeah, that's what it was.
And she didn't know.
Yeah.
But she didn't know.
No, she just missed a day or two of school and went back.
Wow.
Yeah, and it wasn't until she was like 40-something and she had another procedure and they're like, hey, you don't have an appendix.
Your
did you ever have that taken?
Not been working.
You don't have one. It's gone and you've got a bunch of scar tissue around there. Did you ever? She's like, yeah, I got sick for a couple of days in high school once.
Wow.
So
moms are the strongest, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. So torn Achilles for 2 years walking around on it. And I do think he's going to have surgery next year at some point.
Probably. I would
might as well.
So.
I mean, everybody knows you're supposed to have your Achilles repaired 3 years after you tear it.
Yeah. I've always said not knowing about Greek mythology is really my Achilles horse.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. It's okay.
Yeah.
Achilles horse?
Achilles horse. Yeah. Just because I don't know about Greek mythology, so it can't be the heel. All right. That's over the head.
I'm not getting there, but maybe it's too early. I need to finish this cup of coffee.
Hey, last week, Josh, on the podcast, you did some quotes from movies. Before we get to the podcast, I got some more movie quotes, but this time they are all related to the word pain, because that was our conversation in the sermon yesterday, whether you or Adam preached, who's to tell at this point.
Who knows? Show up Sunday.
Here are some quotes on pain from movies. You guys got to see if you can figure this out. Here's the first one. There are two kinds of pain in this world, the pain that hurts and the pain that alters. Any idea?
No idea.
The Matrix.
That is not The Matrix. That's a good guess, though. This is
The Godfather.
No. but you're kind of like in the right frame of movie, like, you know, all that sort of stuff.
Tommy Boy?
It's Equalizer 2. Denzel.
Oh.
That's Denzel Washington right there.
Haven't seen.
You could just imagine Denzel saying something like that. Oh, yeah. So super good. Here's another one. Life is pain. We've got to scrape the joy from it every chance we get.
Shawshank Redemption.
Not Shawshank Redemption.
I have not seen The Equalizer, so this is probably another movie I haven't even seen.
No, all of you guys have seen this movie.
Lord of the Rings. What is it?
It is Rod Kimball from Hot Rod.
Oh, man. No.
Critically acclaimed.
Critically acclaimed.
All right. Life is pain, Highness. Anyone who says differently is selling something.
Oh.
Ooh, it's
familiar.
A Disney. It's got to be a princess movie.
Princess Diaries.
Not Princess Diaries.
Life is pain, Highness. I don't know.
Snow White and the Herdsman.
It is The Princess Bride.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah, I should have known that.
Yeah.
Don't tell my wife.
I thought you would get that, but that's okay.
It's been a while, honestly.
That's a fairly obscure quote from the movie, though.
Of all the quotes from that movie, there's a lot of others that are quoted.
Okay, and I'm thinking, I wish this guy would hit me on the chin so I don't feel nothing anymore.
Rocky.
Yeah, that's right.
All right.
That's Rocky.
Which
number
one?
Number four. Well done. Okay, if into the security recordings you go, only pain you will find.
Security. Oh, go for it, man. Tell us.
You can get this one.
No, we can't.
Yeah. Think about the way the sentence is structured.
I understand. So it's not Yoda.
No, it is Yoda.
Is it Yoda?
Yeah. If into the security recordings you go, only pain you will find.
What? But
it's Revenge of the Sith.
Okay, yeah, that's why we don't know it. Yeah. Because
it's the middle. It's the middle three.
One. All right. Last one. You like pain? Try wearing a corset.
Oh, that's a movie I've seen, but I don't know.
I think it is. That's Pirates of the Caribbean.
There we go.
Yes.
Elizabeth Swann.
One of my favorite movie quotes on pain comes from the immortal Shane Falco. Okay?
I know it.
From The Replacements. So it's Keanu Reeves.
Okay.
The Replacements, it's about a bunch of scab football players had to come in because there's a strike going on.
Yeah.
I wish I could say something classy and inspirational, but that just wouldn't be our style. Pain heals. Chicks dig scars.
Yeah.
Glory lasts forever.
I remember that was when I was in high school. I think that came out because the guys on the soccer team loved that quote.
Yeah,
chicks dig scars.
Pain heals, chicks dig scars, glory lasts forever.
I didn't think we were going to get to your bottom line until the end of the podcast.
Bottom line, chicks dig scars. Yeah.
Chicks dig scars.
No, but let's make our way towards the bottom line with a sermon recap. Adam, why don't you go ahead and share with us a little bit about what you talked about yesterday?
Yeah, well, with it being Team Color Sunday, we actually jumped ahead a chapter in 1 Peter. If we were following along, we should have been in chapter 3, but we'll be in chapter 3 next week. And so we jumped ahead to chapter 4 and just really just talked about the idea that if you are going to be a follower of Christ, if you're going to get into the game, if you're going to follow him, you will get hurt. It's not an if question, it's a when question. And so just acknowledging that as the reality of what it is, because that's what Peter tells us in chapter 4 when he's like, don't be surprised whenever you're going through this stuff. And I love what he says, as if something strange was happening to you.
Right.
He's like, this isn't weird, guys. This is exactly what we're supposed to expect. And so it was really just trying to be two things. One, just to make sure we're saying the quiet part out loud of, if you come to Christ, you're not going to be able to avoid pain. That's not what our call is. But then two, of just saying, okay, so since that's going to happen, what are a few things that we can do to be able to continue to play through the pain? Yeah. And so anyway, since it was Team Color Sunday, it's a great time to throw in a lot of sports mm-hmm. metaphors and those things.
Yeah.
And
yeah, you talked some football injuries. One of them
yeah.
really interesting and
which one?
Gross.
Which one?
The eye.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Well, they're all gross.
Well, yeah.
Ronnie Lott amputated a finger because it was like, it's going to take too long to heal.
Yeah.
Now, he did say he regretted making that decision. But
hey, but
Torrey Holt was running a route and popped his finger back in place before
he caught the ball.
And those were the ball. That was the greatest show on turf, Rams.
Yeah,
right?
That was 99, 2000.
Warner.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah.
Those are fun Rams to watch.
What's crazy is, like, whenever I'm watching, like, game day or any of those kind of pre-game shows, it's really fun whenever you see, like, a defensive lineman or an offensive lineman, and they're talking with their hands. So if you're watching those shows, just pay attention to it, because those guys that have played for a long time, like Brian Baldinger, Booger McFarland, mm-hmm. There's several other guys like that. They'll talk with their hands, and you'll look, and you'll see, like, there's one finger on everybody's hand that's just, like,
it's
pointing a completely different direction than everything else.
Yeah,
I think it's Brian Baldinger. He's got one that just flops around. I mean, it's just it's just insane what these guys go through for that.
You got to play through the pain. So that's where we're at yesterday, Josh, as you're thinking back and looking at Adam's outline that, again, you – may have preached or not.
Yeah, it was great. It was great whenever I did.
what are some things that stuck out to you?
The very first point on the application, do not be surprised by the pain, is really what stuck out, because I think culturally in America, where we are in the West, Christian or not, I think that we expect to not have bad things happen to us. We expect that we've come so far medically or scientifically that we can maybe medicate, you know, or whatever, get medicine or doctors or things to help us. And they do, they're great. But what can be dangerous about that is just thinking that we can somehow get ourselves to where we're sheltered to never experience pain. And that's not reality. And I think I've said for a long time, I think, broken expectations, those are the worst. I mean, if I came into the same situation just with an expectation of that this could go wrong, I'm not surprised by it. So, I mean, parenting, I always go to, if I just have the right expectations that my kids might act like they're 9 and 8 and 6, and I don't expect them to be, you know, 20 and 25 or whatever, like that changes everything. And so don't be surprised. And as Adam said, as if something strange, this is to be expected. Mm-hmm. And then Peter even follows up and says, actually, not only don't be surprised, but be glad. Why? Because you're a partner with Jesus.
Yeah.
And it's doing something in you nothing else except pain can do.
Yeah. So. And these are kind of things we've already talked about as we've kind of gone into the series. But, I mean, it is very evident that Jesus promises trouble, right? Like,
yeah,
it is in John. He says, in this world, you will experience trouble.
Yeah.
But take heart, I've overcome the world.
There's only a few money back guarantees that Jesus gives, and that's one of them.
John 16:33.
It doesn't really make for a good commercial, right? Like, Jesus is saying, hey, come follow me. You'll get hurt, you know? Yeah. But wait, there's more. You'll get hurt again, you know? But that's really what it is. And so you got to play through the pain. Don't be surprised when it comes your way, because it will. I want to ask this question here. So this refrain that you gave, Adam, it was, you play the game, you'll get hurt. We talked about physical pain. We all know that. I actually know that very well right now. This is the stupidest thing in the whole world. You ready? I pulled a muscle in the shower this morning, squeezing the loofah.
All right.
So I got squeezed, and that muscle right there pulled, gone. Now so I can't.
That muscle showing, right there is his forearm.
Yeah, this is an audio podcast, not video. So he's talking his forearm.
Forearm, yeah. So it's just stupid, right? So we know physical pain. Let's talk through the other two types of pain, Adam, you gave, are emotional and spiritual. So let's try to maybe crack the door open a little bit. And can you guys think of a season in your life where there may have been a little bit of emotional or spiritual pain? And maybe how did God demonstrate his faithfulness to you through that season?
100%. 1,000,000%.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why this is a sermon, or that's why there's a text that says, don't be surprised by it, because you will go through emotional pain. And whether it's, I mean, I've got kids that are almost 22 and 20 now, so you can imagine over 22 years of parenting, there's been some emotional pain there.
Yeah.
I've been married for 23 years, and there's been emotional pain in our marriage that we've had to work through. I've been alive for 44 years, and emotional pain, you know, whether it's losing know where they are, but, you know, grandparents passing unexpectedly, you know, friendships that end, all those things. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of pain that we go through emotionally.
Yeah.
Yeah. Second that motion. I'm not quite to 40.
Second that emotion.
Emotion. Yeah. Second that emotion.
Nice.
For us, probably the two most, I guess, emotionally taxing times both have to do with just our parenting journey and the foster care journey. With I've talked about it, you know, many times, but just the miscarriage that led to foster care, that was a hard moment. But then just another long season of trying to figure out what God was doing through a 4-year foster care journey, and even still waiting for the full resolution of that. I think that's hard to wait and see what's on the other end. So spiritually as well, like you wonder, where is God when my life hurts? So
yeah,
and even in the church world, like Corinth is in a beautiful place right now, a glorious place, but Corinth in the history has had seasons, of course, where there's hard things that happen, or hard seasons, or people are difficult sometimes, and there's pain.
Even then, you lose people. I say it always, because it sounds more positive. You know, people graduate, into their reward, and it's just difficult. It's difficult, you know, watching people you love, you know, age. And so, I was telling this to a group of people the other day. It's like, you know, everybody's like, have a long-lasting ministry at the same place and all that other stuff. And it's because it's great. It's awesome. And it is.
It is.
But the problem is that you spend, you know, 20 years of your life in a place, and you start to fall in love with these people, and then you have to watch them get old and say goodbye to them and all those things. And it's like, well, nobody told me I was going to have to do that. You know, that's painful.
One of the seasons I'm thinking of is just the COVID season, right? Where I think all of us were asking the same question, like, God, what are you doing? And but then there was 1 week there where there was like 3 or 4 people that died in 1 week.
Yeah.
And it was brutal.
And if I remember right, we were still at kind of a place to where we couldn't really
do services or anything.
We weren't fully back. And so there was just the tension of all that, you know, from all sides. And so yeah, there's pain, everywhere. Mm-hmm.
So,
but I think the second part of your question, how is God present?
Sure.
My biggest answer to that is people. So during the time when, you know, we had the miscarriage, it was the youth group here. I was gone that Sunday night or whatever. And I mean, every single person wrote me a note. And like so many people of Corinth just said, man, I'm so sorry. Like, we've been through that too. And so, and they would like identify with that through foster care and loss and things, people have been there, and they just, you know, we're praying for you, or all sorts of things. It's people over and over and over. People at Corinth are the best, and they just have always shown support. So,
Yeah, I think of for me, it's generally in the painful seasons that I hear from God better than I do the joyful seasons.
Yeah.
I think this is a C.S. Lewis quote. If not, then it's my quote. But that somehow God whispers to us in our pleasures, but he shouts to us in our pain.
Yeah.
And for me, that's, I know that whenever I'm in a difficult emotional season, I generally hear better from God. Now, the most painful seasons are whenever you're dealing with emotional pain and spiritual pain, because it feels like God has, you know, shut heaven up to you and for you, and, you know, is no longer listening, even though you know he is intellectually, but your heart doesn't feel it, and those things. That's probably more difficult. So here's a question. It's not in the outline.
Yeah.
Which pain would you rather feel?
Yeah, I feel like this is kind of like the question God asked David, right, after he sinned. He's like, what do you want, this plague to hit your people? Or,
oh, yeah.
And so, I mean, I
love that story.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like the physical pain is obviously number one. But are you talking about between emotional or spiritual?
No, I was saying from all three. Yeah.
Physical pain, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's probably what I would choose.
Yeah, I'd choose physical pain. I think up to a certain
level. Oh, see, that's the thing.
Right? Like, because
you're drawn and quartered.
there's a lot of, like, one of the things that's interesting about these three is that they can all really be intertwined depending on the
I think
the
they
pain,
all
right?
affect each other.
Right. So they do, right? So, like, if the physical pain, I don't know, I'm thinking about my youth ministry moments right now. Like, if a physical pain for a teenager is, hey, I was supposed to have a really, really great season on the football field, but I blew my knee out, and doctor actually said I have to miss the football season. Like, that's physical pain because of the knee that then leads to emotional pain because you're
which leads to a spiritual
pain, you know? And so it's like this almost domino effect with the way that we have to deal with it.
It's like whenever I had the world's most mild case of shingles a few months ago, the medicines that they put me on actually caused more pain than the virus did, at least in my case. But I noticed really quickly how that physical pain messed with my emotions and really disrupted my spiritual rhythms as well. And so set me back.
Yeah, whenever you have like a lingering pain,
yeah,
it's easy to kind of get set off and thrown off and grumpy.
Well, because I could not focus.
Yeah.
I could not focus. And so trying to read scriptures or do anything other than just lay there was really, really difficult. So, I don't know that you can actually, I don't know that physical pain can just be separated from emotional and spiritual pain.
Sure.
I do feel like the other two don't have to have physical pain.
Yeah, absolutely.
So.
Absolutely.
Anyway.
I mean, sometimes, though, someone's hurt you so bad, you're sick to your stomach.
That's
so
true.
It kind of reverses.
Or an emotional thing you get.
Yeah.
No, that makes
you deal with the anxiousness, then you get tightness in your chest.
Yes.
And all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, that is true. That is true.
And there
God,
is.
It's almost like God created us as multidimensional beings.
I know.
Yeah.
Not just it's physical crazy. Bodies.
Well, and so I'll go ahead and just go ahead and give the context for this church. And then, Josh, I'll ask you to read the passage that Adam preached through yesterday. But just like, the context for this church is you see all of that at play as well, because this is a church who was experiencing persecution. And in Roman context days, you read through the New Testament, what happens to some of these dudes, probably didn't feel good to get flogged and whipped, you know, it probably didn't feel good to be beaten and all that sort of stuff. And so there's a very real possibility that these, you know, followers of Jesus that Peter is writing to, that some of them have actually bruises on their body because of what they, you know, believe and because of the faith that they had. And so this church is experiencing persecution. There's physical, emotional, and spiritual pain at play.
And depending on whenever this was written, it's either they're in the midst of it or it's right around the corner.
Right.
Yeah. Or Nero. Yeah. Nero was about to start the official.
Yeah. He's about ready to set Rome afire so he can build a bigger palace.
Yeah.
And then he's going to blame the Christians. And so they are either in the midst of it or it's coming.
Yeah.
Right afterwards.
Yeah. So that's kind of the context. So, Josh, would you go ahead and read for us chapter 4, verses 12 through 19 of 1 Peter?
Yeah, here it is. Dear friends, Don't be surprised at the fiery trials you are going through as if something strange were happening to you. Instead, be very glad, for these trials make you partners with Christ in his suffering, so that you will have the wonderful joy of seeing his glory when it is revealed to all the world. If you are insulted because you bear the name of Christ, you will be blessed, for the glorious Spirit of God rests upon you. If you suffer, however, it must not be for murder, stealing, making trouble, or prying into other people's affairs. But it is no shame to suffer for being a Christian. Praise God for the privilege of being called by his name. For the time has come for judgment, and it must begin with God's household. And if judgment begins with us, what terrible fate awaits those who have never obeyed God's good news? And also, if the righteous are barely saved, what will happen to godless sinners? So, if you are suffering in a manner that pleases God, keep on doing what is right and trust your lives to the God who created you, for he will never fail, for he will never fail you.
Love that. Thank you, Josh. Three quick discussion questions for us on this passage. First one, what observations from this text have you made either right now in this moment or Adam as you were studying, Josh and I kind of as we're reading and reflecting on it?
Yeah, I think, and I don't remember, Josh, if you've said this since we hit record or not. I think you did, but sometimes my memory isn't the greatest. But the idea of that we're not victims of pain than gold, any more than gold is a victim of the fire. Did you say that while we've been recording? Or was that before?
Not since we've been recording.
Okay.
And that was part of the first week's sermon, too.
Just, okay, mm-hmm. Yeah. And so I think that that's just another theme that's popping out. Right here. And so I think that that's a big one. Another observation is Peter is making it very, very clear that whenever we suffer, it should be for doing good, not for doing stupid.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so I think that's a big differentiator there of just like, because I think sometimes we end up suffering for doing stupid mm-hmm. and we're like, oh my goodness, I can't believe that I'm going through these trials and these kind of things. Mm-hmm. It's like, well, actually, if you stop and you think about it, yeah, you can.
Yeah. Well, that's the observation I was going to point out because he's really talking about two different types of pain. And one of the types of pain is the pain that results from following Jesus.
Uh-huh.
And the other is the pain that results from just having to face consequences for your own decisions.
Correct.
Right. So I remember one day I hit my little brother with a Guitar Hero guitar upside the head because he wasn't taking turns, and I was really mad at him, so I ripped the guitar out of his hands, and I literally just like slung that thing and hit him in the head with it. It hurt him really bad.
Yeah,
I had to clean out our garage, and mm-hmm. our garage is the worst. And I was so mad, and you know,
but what did you do wrong? That's what I'm trying to figure out.
I still to this day have not figured it out. But you know,
he should have been sharing.
I agree. But I also, in my anger, should not have sinned and hit him over the head with the guitar. So the
wait
consequence,
your parents are
the
gone.
Consequence, which, you know, for a like 11-year-old boy, this massive task of cleaning out the garage is a painful thing to do. And so that pain didn't result from me following Jesus. That pain resulted from, you know, my own choice.
Yeah, it's a consequence.
And so those are the same things. And so it was actually helpful for me to kind of start thinking through this and reflect over the last, you know, 24 hours since I looked at this outline, Adam. It's been helpful for me to reflect in seasons of my life and just ask the questions like, I remember this painful season in my life. Was that because of something that I did?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And if so, you know, there becomes almost this easier sense of letting it go and be like, okay, well now I have, you know, I'm trying to.
Yeah. Cause like, I think sometimes even as, more mature Christians, sometimes we do something that's wrong. And then because we're mature, we confess
right.
and we repent.
Yeah.
But just because we confess and repent doesn't mean that we're exempt from the consequence.
Correct.
Yep.
Yeah.
And so I think it does catch us by surprise sometimes. It's like, but wait a second, I apologized. You know, it's like, well, yeah, but you lied, and so you violated trust, and so it's going to take a little while to get the trust back.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, you're holding that over me. Well, no, not really. This is just the consequence of your action.
Right. Yeah,
I think there's a third category too of just the fallen world, and sometimes bad things happen. And so I think just a word of wisdom as we go through this text, really, First Peter is written mostly in the context of suffering because you're a Christian.
Right.
Yes.
And so obviously any sort of pain can make us stronger, and these things, these application points are going to be applicable for whatever type of pain you are experiencing.
Right.
But just to be honest with yourself, and I think sometimes to have the expectation, hey, we do live in a fallen world, so sometimes we're gonna go through it, and it's not even because you did anything wrong necessarily. It's just the sinful, fallen world that is, we're broken. So,
and I think too, if you go back to chapter 2 towards the end, which we didn't preach on this part of the text, but you know, he talks about submission to authorities. Mm-hmm. And really just submission in relationships as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so whenever he gets to chapter 4 and he's like, make sure you're suffering because you're a Christian, not because you're doing non-Christian type of things. I mean, that even goes back to the fallen world part of it. It's like you are serving, or you live in an area where you don't have a godly leader. Nero's not a godly leader.
Right.
And I actually heard your dad say something like this, Josh, that just because someone's not a godly leader doesn't mean that they're not God's leader.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Because God appoints, you know, the rulers and the authorities. And so that's kind of what Peter's point is.
Yeah. A leader doesn't have to be godly to be established by God.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, make sure that you're suffering because you bear the name of Christ and you're doing the things that you're supposed to do, even in a world that has fallen.
So another thing, to contextualize this, earlier in chapter 4, verse 1, I'm going to read it. It says, "So then, since Christ suffered physical pain, you must arm yourself with the same attitude he had and be ready to suffer."
Mm-hmm.
For, listen, if you have suffered physically for Christ, you have finished with sin.
Yeah.
So that just, that puts it in context too, that God really is shaping us to send us. And so the suffering, it really is refining. But I mean, you just think about it. What's worse, suffering physically or emotionally or spiritually, or being like handcuffed and locked up by sin?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Sin is worse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so if suffering can purge us of sin, we should welcome it as painful as it is.
Yeah. Love it. Adam, what are some maybe additional, we use kind of the phrase cutting room floor type of stuff, that you may have recognized that might give some extra light to this text as we're talking about it on podcast?
I mean, I really think we've touched on just about everything there. So,
Okay. Question 3, what other passages or narratives in scripture, does this remind you of, or, you know, what other stories, passages are you thinking through as you kind of reflect on this text?
I think, in fact, I was reading it, I think it was yesterday. I think it's Romans 5. Mm-hmm. Where suffering leads to this, leads to this, leads to this, which leads to this, and all the words are escaping me at the moment because I read it yesterday.
Perseverance, character, hope,
and those things. So that was one that was really there. The John 16:33 one is a huge one, which is, "In this world you will have trouble. Take heart, I've overcome the world." Those were a couple of big ones. And then the other one too, and I referenced it last week, is the one where, "If they've done this to me, your Lord and Master, then why wouldn't they do this? Why wouldn't you expect this to happen to you?"
Yeah. Love that.
I think of James 1, if trials come your way, it's an opportunity for joy, because when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow, so let it grow, and when it's fully developed, you'll be perfect and complete, needing nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, now that we're talking, this just popped into my head, I think before on the podcast, we've talked about just this question, did any person, like hero of the Bible, not experience pain prior to the blessing?
No.
And I don't think there's an example of that, really. I mean, maybe there is, but it's few and far between. You talk about people that just experienced, whether it is physical or emotional or spiritual, the formula seems to be, for the most part, struggle before the success.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that the closest one would be, and I don't even know if I agree with myself as I say this one, maybe Samuel.
Maybe,
but you can argue that he experienced emotional pain because
separated from his family
to go live in the temple with Eli. So
yeah,
yeah,
but also too, he was super young, and so
he was super young. And then, you know, later in life,
definitely later experienced
his sons, like two of them dying, and I mean, like, because of their unfaithfulness and God saying,
definitely later in life. Yeah. But
I don't think anyone is excused from it.
No, that one is 100% for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Love that. I scribbled down 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8 through 9. It says, we are afflicted in every way, but not crushed.
Yeah.
Perplexed, but not driven to despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. And struck down, but not destroyed.
So remember that song, Trading My Sorrows?
Trading My Sorrows.
I was about to bust out.
You know, Lord, Lord, yes. All right, I'll stop.
Yeah, no, that's okay. Carry on. Yep, do the sign language and everything. Yeah. It's good. So love that. So then we know, and we've talked about it a good amount here today, that when you follow Jesus, you'll experience pain. If you play the game, you're going to get hurt. And so we've got to figure out how to play the game while being hurt, right? Play through the pain. So Adam, your application took us to that question yesterday. He gave us three kind of ideas, three things to do to help us play through the pain. First one was don't be surprised by the pain. So just a couple of quick questions about this one. What does it look like to be, I don't know, ready for the pain and not taken by surprise? And then maybe some extra thoughts about how we can practically do this.
Yeah. So I think what does it look like is just, it's not that we're Eeyores walking around just waiting for the other shoe to drop.
Oh, bother.
Exactly.
Hey, that was pretty good.
That was good.
Bass. Bass?
No. So it's not that. That's not how we aren't surprised by the pain, but it's just that we live with an expectation that whenever pain does show up, that we're going, this is part of it. Yeah. And so we may have a moment of, why is this happening to me? I've done all these things. Why should I have to go through this? And that moment is fine, but we don't stay in that moment, and we move to the, wait a second, the Bible tells me this is what's going to come for my way.
Yeah.
Am I suffering for doing what is right? Okay, then God, refine me, make me right. Am I suffering because I've been a fool? Okay, God, help me to take the correction and lead me to repentance, lead me to confession.
Love that.
I think that's just the idea. It's just, it's going to come. And so we just don't want to be people that whenever painful situations come in our life, that we're just sitting there just for way too long going, why did this happen? Why did this happen? Why did this happen? So we're just not surprised by it.
Yeah, I love that. I talked about this with the teenagers somewhat recently and did a little bit of an illustration, and I'm a big dude, generally a teenager would have a hard time knocking me off balance and all that sort of stuff. So we were talking about this idea, and I invited one of the teenagers to come up and basically gave them two free shots at me to try and knock me off my balance. They could hit me as hard as they wanted in whatever way they wanted, get as much running head start as they could, all that sort of stuff. And, you know, the first time I basically turned a cold shoulder to them and I didn't embrace for impact and all that sort of stuff. And they wrecked me. And I was like, okay, that's part of the point. Now do this again. And the second time around, I like actually stood firm and stood my ground and squared my shoulders and got ready and embraced for the impact. And then they bounced off of me. You know, it's like, all right. So that kind of is the image that I get here about how practically to prepare yourself for the pain that might come is like, make sure that you're standing firm in your faith and holding your ground. And the way that you do that is really to exercise, bingo word, the rhythms over and over and over again. You do that. And then I think you'll find that when pain does come, you'll be better equipped to handle it in a way that honors God and then to lean into the hope that's going to come from it.
Yeah. So two quick things. I read this verse this morning. I love it. In the ESV translation, where is it? Here we go. 1 Corinthians 16, 13, 14. Be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong.
Love
Let
that.
All you do be done in love.
That was the theme verse for Strong Hall.
Really? Act like men. Yeah, it has to be the ESV translation for that phrase, act like men, which is great. An image also that popped into my head, don't be surprised. I remember high school soccer. My friend Joe, we were on the same team, and before every game, I would see him like just kind of kneeling down with his eyes closed for a while. And, you know, I assumed he was praying or something. And I think he was, but he was also, I just asked him one time, like, what are you doing? And he goes, I'm watching myself play the game.
Yeah.
And that was the first time I had heard of that. But then I started doing that every time, where you envision yourself
mm-hmm.
receiving the ball and passing yep. it and shooting the, you know, shooting your shot and making it. And I think if we apply that to our life, you envision the day, you envision the week, you envision yourself responding yep. instead of reacting when yep. something bad happens. And then when it comes, you've already played out that moment in your head. And so, like I said, you're going to respond, not react.
Yeah.
Yeah. Legendary coach John Wooden. Mm-hmm. We yeah. did wooden drills whenever yeah. I was in playing college basketball.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't even have a ball.
No.
You're just standing. You're standing 30, 40 feet away from the basket. And you're just like, okay, jump shot.
Mm-hmm.
Jump shot.
Yep.
Jump shot. All right, now we're going to do free throws. And you're just, it is. It's just yeah. visualizing. So I think visualizing. That's great, Josh.
John Wooden's a legend.
Legend.
You already said that. Legendary. Yeah.
Legendary. Yep.
Incredible.
All right. Number two. How do you play through the pain? Well, you obey through the pain. So, Adam, what does this one look like? And what are some maybe practical ways we can get to this point?
So the way we obey through the pain is we obey.
You're crazy.
I know. no, I think here's the simple way I would put it. The temptation is whenever we hurt is to stop doing what we need to do.
Right.
So I go back to my shingles example. So I stopped doing things that I needed to do. Because I was just hurting.
Mm-hmm.
And part of what we've got to learn to do is we've got to push ourselves and say, no, I'm going to continue to obey. So you're a parent and your kid is not wanting, you know, they're at the point where you can't make them go to church anymore.
Yeah.
Well, that's fine. Well, it's not fine. Mm-hmm. But what you don't do as the parent is you don't stop going.
Mm-hmm.
You keep obeying. You keep doing the right thing. You keep setting the example. Maybe you even crank it up a notch in your life. And it's like, I'm going to obey so much harder now in this, and I'm going to be a model and example of this. And so I think that's kind of where I would go is it's just like, okay, so I'm not going to stop doing the things that I should do. So if I'm in an emotionally painful spot in my marriage, I'm going to obey even harder,
mm-hmm.
okay? So let's just say she's being distant from me and she's being mean or whatever you want to do. It's like, well, I could respond to that and do the exact same thing. That's not obedience.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I'm going to love her as Christ loves the church even stronger.
Yeah.
And so I think that's where my brain is with this is obey through it. You do what you know is right, even though you are hurting.
Yeah. Because
the temptation is that because I'm hurting, I'm mad at God, so I'm going to disobey. And the problem with that is that actually makes the pain worse, and it makes our heart harder.
Mm-hmm. It's a downward spiral. Yeah,
downward,
I remember
stinking thinking.
In the marriage series, just recently, you gave the Fantastic Five for him and for her.
Yeah.
And one thing really, I've heard you say that before, but this stuck out to me this time. You said the stats, I forget what it is, but even if one person
yes.
does those, like there's a high percentage, high percentage yes. of marriages succeed, even if only one of them
yeah.
are doing it.
It yeah. wins over.
Yeah. So that really challenged me as well. Just in my marriage, just like, hey, it doesn't matter for either of us. Like we need to do those things no matter what. So yeah.
Do what's right that. Because it's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So obey through the pain. And then last, how to play through the pain, trust God through the pain.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe give us a couple of words on this one, guys.
Yeah, I think it's the why he can be trusted. Is that God is not asking us to do anything that he did not do himself through Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And if the God, the creator of the universe, if the only perfect person to ever walk the planet experienced pain, then I can expect to experience it, but I can also trust that through the most painful ordeal that God ever experienced, something great came out of it for us, which is our salvation,
mm-hmm.
then there can be a purpose to the pain that I'm going through.
Mm-hmm.
And I may not understand it for weeks, months, years.
Decades.
Mm-hmm. But I can trust that he's got a purpose for this. If he has deemed it fit for me to go through this, then I can trust that he knows what he's doing, even though it hurts.
You said before, almost like a prayer to pray, God, help me to trust your heart when I can't see your hand.
Yes.
And I think that's just so key, because something recently I heard as well, just thinking about God and sending Jesus to experience all the pain, is really the reason Jesus was sent was not to take all the pain out of our life now, but it, or like save us from death now, but it's to ultimately put death to death. And so in the midst of our pain, we have this promise of the future that death is defeated. Mm-hmm. And so even through death, like a Christian is saved either from death or through death, earlier you said they graduated.
Yeah.
That's what it means. Like a Christian, we have nothing to fear. So
yeah, love that. And leads to the bottom line, because we have a God who experienced pain. Chicks dig scars. No, just kidding. Because we have
glory is forever.
That's right. Because we have a God who experienced pain, we have a God that we can trust. Love that. So the challenge that you gave, Adam, was to reframe the pain.
Yeah.
Talk to us a little bit about that, and then we will wrap it up today with something fun.
Yeah, it really is just trying to look at it from that perspective, that if God is putting me through this, then and allowing me to go through this, he must have a purpose. So I'm going to reframe it. And we have to be able to get to the place to where we're able to say, thank you. Thank you for bringing this into my life, because obviously there is something that needs to be refined, and you're refining me into who I really need to be. And so while I'm not going to do cartwheels over this, I'm going to pray for it to go away. But I'm also going to say, whenever I'm weak, you are strong. And so you have this all under control.
We've referenced that leadership pain book several times too, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he says it at the end of every single of the like 9 or 11 chapters. Yeah. You will never grow past your threshold of your pain.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah.
Yep.
God is using it.
Love that. Very good. Good stuff today, guys. We're going to wrap up with a game called J'accuse, which is, I was told, is French for I accuse.
Yeah,
there you go. So it is a game of kind of like superlatives, like most likelies. So I've got a wheel here, and I'm going to kind of randomize, spin the wheel, and it's going to give us a prompt. And then we're going to have to basically accuse of the three of us which one this applies to the most. Does that make sense?
I think so.
So right. Just which one of us three is most likely to whatever the wheel says.
Right. Okay. And so we're, there we go. All right. First one. Here we go.
We're just going to gang up on Luke. Let's just gang up on Luke, Josh.
One, two,
and
three.
We're stopping.
Luke.
Loves Jesus and conspiracy theories.
I think it's Luke.
That, I think so too. I think that is me.
Yeah.
I like conspiracy theories. They're a lot of fun, though.
Did you see
I was going to, I mean, it's definitely not me. It's between you two.
Yeah, there was a JFK one that came out the other just this week about the magic bullet and that stuff, huh? The guy that was sitting there.
The magic bullet, like the blender?
Yeah, that's what they're saying happened.
He used the blender. Oh, my goodness. Okay, here we go. Spinning again, and we are, here we go. Hoards Chick-fil-A sauce.
I think that's Luke.
I got a lot of Chick-fil-A sauce in my fridge.
I was about to say, how many Chick-fil-A sauces do you have?
But wait a second. Do you still get it from Chick-fil-A, or do you just buy the bottle at Walmart?
Oh, we get it at Chick-fil-A.
So, like, you'll order, you know, like, a Chick-fil-A sandwich, and you'll get, like, three sauces, and then you'll eat two and put one in the fridge?
Yeah.
It's got to be Josh.
Extra sauce.
So
there's probably 30 sauces in my fridge.
Quick PSA. Have you guys tried the Bear chicken nuggets in the freezer section at Kroger? So thank me later. But if you get those and throw them in your air fryer, they are as close to Chick-fil-A chicken nuggets that you can get.
The brand is called Bear?
It's called Bear.
B-A-R-E?
B-A-R-E.
Okay.
That is not great information for
it is fantastic.
A guy who's trying to lose weight. This is dangerous.
I'm telling you.
Okay.
All right. So Josh with 30 packs of
Chick-fil-A
sauce.
You get them from Costco. It's like a 30-pound bag.
He hoards
30 pounds of chicken nuggets.
All right. Doesn't know how to text. Which one of us is the worst texter?
Luke.
I think it would be
me. Again.
It would be my wife. My wife would agree with that by a lot.
It's just because you're so disciplined of not being on your phone, right?
Thanks, man. Really don't like my phone. Boundaries. I don't use my phone a lot. Okay. Has the best chance of passing gas during small group.
Oh, wow. I think it's Luke.
See, may or may not have passed.
See, like you said, let's team up on Luke, but you really didn't have to.
Yeah, we didn't have to. All right.
Needs to consult friends before posting to Instagram.
Well, I don't think any of us post. So.
Yeah, none of us post. So
we get a pass on that one.
Yeah,
pass.
Wouldn't apply.
I know some people who need to consult their friends before they post on Instagram.
All right, the one.
Can we start naming them?
Yeah, no. you should consult with us before you do that. And
okay.
The answer is no.
Great.
The one to be stranded on a desert island with. Who would people enjoy or have the most success being stranded on a desert island
success
with?
Success would be Josh.
It would be Josh.
Yeah.
It'd be Josh.
Yeah, because he can actually work with wood.
Yeah. Josh actually probably already has a survival plan.
He does.
Ready to roll. Yeah.
Back when I was stranded.
I'm gonna run. Social media stalker. Who's the social media stalker of the three of us?
Is it any of us?
I don't think so.
I mean, I would probably... I mean, I'm on Twitter more than I should be, so it might be me.
Yeah.
But I'm not stalking anybody in the church, yeah. Tell you that.
The only time we quote-unquote stalk people is in staff meeting to say, hey, who is that?
Who is that?
Oh, yeah.
What are they like? Yeah. Renette. We should accuse Renette.
Yeah, we should.
Renette. But she's not creepy. She's so
helpful. She's not. She's helping.
Yeah, she's helping. She is the best.
Who is most likely to or does clap offbeat during worship?
I stay on beat.
I stay on beat.
I feel like I do.
I have no rhythm, but I can stay on beat with that. But then again, nobody claps in our church, so.
There you go. Oh, we got Horde's Chick-fil-A sauce again, so that might be time to call it. Okay, here's another one. Has an emotional breakdown when Netflix isn't working.
Oh, that'd be me.
All right, there we go. Yeah. We finally got Adam.
Yeah.
Yeah. There it is.
No, I just moved to Hulu. Or Peacock or Paramount.
But I think it still applies. You're the most streaming service guy of
oh,
the
yeah.
Service.
Yeah, absolutely.
Since I don't have Disney or Netflix right now.
I love it. All right. That has been enough of that and a good conversation today. We will be back for part number. Are we already on part number four?
Part four.
Faith Under Fire.
Yeah, so we'll jump back. We'll jump back to chapter three.
So part number four, chapter three, Faith Under Fire. On Sunday morning. We'll see you in person then and then back in podcast form Monday morning. Hope you have a great week. Peace and grace.
Chicks dig scars.